All right. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that every day is a new day. Every day is a new beginning, but every day you are the same. You love us, and your word stays the same, and you're not fickle, and we don't have to worry about that. Let the words that come out of my mouth today be your words and not my words. In Jesus' name we pray. God is good. Perception is everything. It's interesting that I have a friend, a good friend, and he has a hard time seeing God the way he really is because his dad was not a good example of who God is. And in the world, you have to destroy all that perception. I'll just talk a little bit what I talked about in Fort Worth last week. Is when we're around people, we put on different faces and talk different ways and things like that. And the problem is that usually carries over into our relationship with God. And we behave a certain way because like, oh, we're with God and we're not real. You know, we don't get mad at him or we don't do, you know, we always think, well, if I want God to answer this, I have to do it a certain way. And I wish I knew that way. And it's like, that's not the way a parent is. When a child needs something, the parent doesn't really care how the child asks, except for in Gabby's case, when she whines, we tell her, I didn't hear what you said. anyway, but a parent always wants to bless a child. Even when Gabby asks, even if I don't say yes, in my mind, I want to bless her. Yeah. She doesn't even know. She asked for something, and I'm like, I want to give you way more than that. You don't even know what you're asking. You're asking for this little thing, and I'm wanting to give you everything. And so when we come before God, we have to be ourselves. Just, I mean, that's the way David was in Psalms. He just let it all out. You know, God, you know, you're letting the enemies get me, and everything's falling apart. And then he remembers, oh yeah, you're the Almighty God, and you love me, and you want the best for me. And it's so it's okay to fall apart in front of God. We can just say whatever you want to say, and you don't have to say it right. I think that's funny that there's so many religions that are built on doing it right and saying it right and doing it just this way. And it's like that's not God. God is not into that. God is into your heart. He knows what your heart is, and that's what he's into. So I'm going to read in John 17 today. Because today is a made-up holiday that we're celebrating. it's Father's Day. Thank you. It's good. Fathers are important. You know, fathers are the second half of the equation. Without mothers and fathers, we would have no children. So, let's see. I'm trying to remember what it said. I saw a meme and it said something like, more or less, thank your dad today for not being gay because you're here. It's like, yeah, there you go. I mean, it's totally crass, but it's funny. It's funny. This world is messed up. I don't know if I've said this here before. It's funny because the people, you know, like especially the LGBT group, they'll go, well, we're born this way. And I used to fight that. I used to go, no, you weren't. And then I realized, yeah, you were. You were born in sin. You were born with a sin nature. And so until you got Jesus in you, until you have Jesus in you, you're going to behave that way because you don't know any better. You're just looking to fill that void which God fills. And you're doing it the best way you know how. I don't get mad at the world anymore. I used to get mad. I'm like, why are you sinning? I don't get mad at the Democrat. Why do you do that? It's like, that's the way they're taught. They don't know any better. If that's the way you're taught and you don't know any better, how can you be mad at somebody for that? Right. And then it's your fault for not getting with them and sharing the truth with them. You know, share the truth in love. problem with most people, they hate the church because the church doesn't share things in love. They share things in, they're just, abusing people and yelling at people and condemning them. It's like, wow, Jesus did not come to condemn the wicked. He came to save the wicked. And so if the church is condemning the wicked, you know, you're not you're not doing what would Jesus do. Anyway, hallelujah. So chapter 17 of John, Big John. There is no chapter 17 of Little John, as far as I know. I think they're only a couple chapters long. So these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son and thy that thy Son may glorify thee. So people, I keep getting into the fact that the Jews were looking for, they were looking for a Messiah, but not the right kind of Messiah. We're very earthly driven, and that's normal. I mean, we live on earth. We need food and clothing and shelter, and we like comfort, and the Jews were mad that the Romans were controlling them, and they were waiting for a Messiah to come save them from the Romans. And it's like kids want you to save them a certain way, and you're like, no, you don't understand. I'm Jesus came to save your soul. This earth, though bad things may happen on it, is just earth. You know, there's an eternity, and Jesus is like, man, the picture that I have in my head is way bigger than you can even imagine. I'm not interested in saving you from a little discomfort here on earth. I want to save you from discomfort for eternity. And people don't get that, you know. They get mad at God, and they're like, well, your God is mean, and he kills people. And it's like, you know, God doesn't do anything without a purpose. He doesn't. Every person on the face of the earth is going to get a chance to stand before Almighty God. You know, it's not like he's just going to kill people and go, well, too bad for you. I didn't like you. He loves everybody that's ever been born. And we all get our chance to stand before God. And he's going to search our heart. So, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. All right. So it's good. That's an incredible thing. I don't even understand that. I don't understand eternal life. Sometimes I think, do we never get to sleep again? I really like sleep. Sleep is good. When you don't get enough sleep, you feel horrible. So are we just going to be energetic for forever and not need it? So, but eternal life. I mean, we don't even understand. I mean, because it's so funny. Facebook and YouTube have my number, man. They know what I like to watch. and you have to get into it and you go, is any of this real? Or, you know, I mean, because it says what I want to hear. And that's scary. I mean, like people go, well, have you been seeing all the, you know, it's that month of the year. And people say, have you seen all the stuff? I'm like, I haven't. And they're like, well, maybe the algorithm knows you don't want to see that stuff, so it doesn't show it to you. Because I haven't seen any of it. And I'm like, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for that algorithm. I don't see any of the pride junk. I don't want to see any of that stuff. It's dumb. I mean, first of all, pride is a sin. So it's like, so those people, they need Jesus. And it's because they never had a good father figure in their life. I mean, if you talk to, I'm sure there's some that did, but I would say most of them, they either, you know, came from broken families or families where the parents were just working all the time and they had no influence in their life. And the only influence they had was friends and, you know, weird teachers who were trying to pollute their minds. That's the sad thing is we've let our educational system is indoctrinating people now instead of teaching them. You know, they're talking about your feelings and your emotions and how and what you want. It's like, no, school is supposed to be, here's math and English and history, you know. It's not supposed to be any of the other stuff. And so that's why the church body needs to come in and help with that, you know, to raise up parents who can teach their kids, who can protect their kids. You know, it's okay if you, I mean, you can't keep the kids out of the world. They're going to be there sooner or later. So you got to equip them so that when they get out there, that they're not just blindsided. You know, I mean, it's amazing to me how many stories I see of people going to seminary and they come out and they believe there's no God anymore. It's like, wait a minute, you went to seminary to learn more about God, and now you believe there is no God. It's like, how is that even possible? So it's because the church isn't doing its job. You know, it's easy. It's easy for people to leave our church and go to other churches because they have a foundation. But if you go to most of those other churches, the foundation is just, it's not there. I'm not bragging on our church, just as God, that's a gift from God. It's like, if the foundation isn't stable, then whatever you put on top of it isn't stable. And so if you know the truth about God, you could know who God is just from that song you learned as a kid. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And if you were to know that, that's the foundation of everything. And people say, well, you know, how do these people know about God if they don't hear about God? It's like, God is everywhere. If you can't see His love in the creation of our bodies, and you know, I'm always watching the sciences of how things work. And I heard one the other day. It was fascinating to me. You guys know what thistles are, right? They put up the little purple flower, and they're a weed. You know, the thistle has a purpose, and it has a mighty purpose. If you ever see thistles growing somewhere, it's because the ground is compacted so much that nothing else can grow, and the thistle will go and it'll send its roots way down deep, and it breaks up the soil and it brings up the nutrients. And as soon as all that happens and the soil is loosened and the nutrients are available, the thistle dies and other plants come in. I'm like, what? Isn't that incredible? I mean, how did God figure that out? It's like He has a purpose. We look down on it. We're always trying to improve on God's deal. Hey, we can make a better, faster, gianter version of this. And it's like, why? It's like, I mean, I'm always looking at food because people, well, if you make, you can make the tomato red and it's pretty and it's big. Yeah, but it has no nutritional value because you used your man-made wisdom. And I can take this ugly, small, tiny tomato, and it has 10 times more nutritional value because it was grown the way God designed it, not the way man designed it. You know, we're all into aesthetics, and, you know, and it's we lose. It's all surface stuff. Man is very surface, and we've always been that way. I mean, it's just... That's what Eve said about that, you know, they were talking about it. Isn't it good? It's good. It's a good-looking fruit. This is a good-looking fruit. And the devil was like, you're going to know lots of stuff if you eat that fruit. Yeah, this is good-looking. I think I'm going to eat this fruit. Interested in that, you know. And then Adam went and ate it too. That guy, it's funny, he just went on and sinned. He didn't even think about it. He didn't even have to be deceived. Satan was like, Eve, this will be good. And Eve was like, yeah, I think that might be good. And Adam was like, sin? Sounds great. Let's try some. So don't think that Adam, anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm gonna read verse 3 again. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So that's life. That's what God wants. That's the whole reason God created us, was to know Him. Was to know Him. And the church is bad about explaining that to other people. The world thinks God is mean or selfish, or, you know, overbearing, or doesn't want anything to do with them because they sin. You know, they don't know who God is because we're not good at explaining who He is. You know, because we're all taught wrong. I mean, that's the whole problem with seminaries now. They just teach people to spit out information. They're not taught to love Jesus. A seminary should be somewhere where you go to fall in love with God and you're not distracted by the world. That's what a seminary should be. And instead, it's just filling your head full of head knowledge and you go, oh, did you know that thus and so? I mean, it's fun. It's fun to know all the history behind all that stuff. But that doesn't have anything to do with who God is. You know, they get into all the, eisegesis and exegesis, and they're, we can get into all that. And it's good, it's good enough to put your interpretation into the Bible. But again, if you're spending time with God and you're listening to the Holy Spirit, it's a moot point. It's like you're going all this way to get back to the start. And the start is, hey, just spend time with God and he'll answer your questions. That's what, you mean Stephen was a young man, young in his age and shouldn't be able to say what things he said, but that's because he was communing with God, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he could hear God, and he was able to say mighty things, and they killed him for it. Because, I mean, isn't that horrible when you studied all your life and you're brilliant, and some young guy comes in and he's just taking you to task, not meanly, in gently, but he's just saying, hey, you guys are wrong here, 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 and here, and here. And they're like, no way. You're too young. You don't understand. We need to get rid of this guy. He's making... But it's just because of pride, you know, because I love coming in contact with people that have more wisdom and knowledge than me, because then I can glean from them. Some people take offense to that. They're like, I don't like that guy. I'm like, no, teach me. I want to know. If you know something about a subject and I don't know completely about it. I went yesterday to a little store because they were doing a demonstration, because I have a laser that I got years ago thinking I'd start another little side hustle, and of course that never happens. Don't ever think you're going to do that. My dad did that all his life. Louder. Okay. I went to a little store yesterday, and they had a class on using how to use lasers. Lasers for engraving and cutting. You can do all sorts of crafty things with them. And I thought it was a sales pitch. And I thought, wow, thanks for wasting my time. You know. Anyway, I don't know why I was getting off on that. So,
learning from others.
Thank you. Yeah, so it's good, and that's why we spend time with God, is so we can learn about Him. And we're gonna. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, "Why can't you just learn everything about God at once?" I'm like, "You wouldn't be able to comprehend it all. There's no way you could comprehend it all. It would go in, and immediately it would go right back out, and you wouldn't remember any of it." That's the way our school is designed. You know, when you're a little kid, you just start with the basics, and then when you get a little older, you learn more, and then you learn more, and then you get to college, and you learn more complex things. That's the same way. That's the same way with God. You know, you start off with little simple things like, I love you. That's good. And then oftentimes we got to go back to I love you, because we forget. We get too messed up. But then you get to things like, you know, I don't know. That's it. There's not much more than that. When you start to die to yourself, then you're able to listen to God and do what He tells you, and to share the Word with others, and to... It's what's fun about when you put the Word in your heart, because the Bible tells you, you know, hide this Word in your heart, and God will bring somebody to you, and just Scripture comes out, and you're like, well, that didn't come from me. There's no way. That's why you hide it there. And that's the same way with, you know, you're putting that there in your heart so that when you need it, it's there to use. The crazy thing is the Holy Spirit can do that without you learning it, but it's better to have it there. So, verse 4, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. So Jesus is saying, I've glorified God on earth and I've finished the work that you gave to me to do. It's, God has given each of us a work. Sometimes it's as mundane as just being at your job and being a witness, and not even being an out loud witness. People think, well, you got to say it out loud. It's like, no, people will see you. They'll see your integrity. They'll see who you are, and they'll know you're different. You know, you and I have the same boss, and I hate them, and you may not enjoy them, but you still respect them, and you do a good job, and you do it right. That tells volumes. you know, the guy that I work with, we always make everything right. And that's why I enjoy working for him. If the customer's not happy, we will fix it. There's a lot of people that won't do that. They're like, well, I already spent the time and money, and if you don't like it, it's too bad. You know. But he has so much integrity, as do I, that it has to be right. And that's the way we do. I mean, that's just the way God is. God keeps working on something until it's perfected. You know, he's like the potter who's completely working on it and making it better and making it better. And it's always funny when you see a project and people go, wow, this looks horrible. And at first it is, it looks horrible. And then it starts to get put back together and it still looks horrible. And people are like, I don't know if I like this. And you go, just wait. Wait till I'm done. And then if you got a problem with it after I'm done, then we'll talk. And then we get finished. They're like, wow, this looks amazing. I'm like, I told you. We know what we're doing. God knows what he's doing. Yes.
You read the passage there. Jesus said, I've completed, I finished what you gave me to do.
Yeah.
And I just think of how many things were left undone. There was a ton of things that he didn't get around to.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a workaholic. You
know? Right.
He just did what God gave him to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's like, how could you say I'm done? You know, there's so much, there's other people that are talking about. People that need to be taught. How could you say that?
Yeah.
What a good example for us.
That's true. I said that last week in Fort Worth. If God gives you an assignment, a word, a task, that doesn't mean it's for somebody else. Oftentimes people will get that task and then they'll put it on somebody else and they go, why aren't you doing this? And it's like, no, God gave you that task. That's your task. That's not my task. Like Monty goes every week to the homeless, and I'm sure one of these weeks I'm going to go. But you know, God hasn't put it on my heart to do it yet. If God puts it on my heart, I'll be there in a second to do it. But I am so glad that Monty does it. You know, Mom and Halverson are into politics. I'm not into that. That is not what God has called me to do. And so I don't do it. But they do, and they love it. And it's necessary, you know. You move people, and you help people get houses, and, you know, Margaret teaches. People do things, and it's important. I mean, that's we live in life, and it has to happen. It's, you know, it's going to keep going. It's always funny when people bring up the whole climate change stuff, and I'm like, no, it says in Genesis that we are going to eat and drink and harvest and sow and reap, and the seasons will keep going until the end when God comes back. It's not going to ever stop, and so it says to just work, go out and work and do your job. But, you know, I mean, it's like, because people can go, well, you know, I mean, I thought all my life, well, God's going to come back soon. God's going to come back soon, and God's going to come back. And it doesn't ever come back. It's like, God, why aren't you having to come back yet? You know, so don't rearrange your life based on things like that. I had a friend in high school who got married right out of high school because she thought God's going to come back, and I want to get married, and I want to know what that's about to be married. And then she was divorced within a year because she was miserable because she was so worried about getting that done before God came back that she just, you know, wrecked everything. You know, that's horrible. So just live your life like normal. You know, people, I have friends that are always trying to get me to prep. You need to prep. I'm like, God hasn't told me to. If God tells me you need to hunker down and start saving stuff, I'll do it. But right now, you know, I always tell them, well, God's telling you to do that for me. When everything goes south, I'm coming to your house. So I'm not worried about it. Mary and I talk about that from time to time. It's like, man, if everything goes south, I don't know how long you think we're going to last. I don't know, maybe a week, we'll be dead within a week and a half. You know, you always watch those movies and everything falls apart, and you always think you're going to be the one who, you know, is the survivor. And I'm thinking, yeah, probably not. Probably would not survive that long. But it's okay, because my eternity is already set in stone. I'm going to be with Jesus, so it doesn't matter. God will keep me alive as long as I need to be alive. God will keep me along as long as I need to finish something. So, and now, our Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, and with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So there you go. People, anybody, any of those religions that talk about Jesus being a new being, it says right there, that I had with thee before the world was. So Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God before the world began. I mean, that's the very first part in John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus is the Word. So that word glory is always so interesting because you always think about it. You're like, cause God doesn't need anything from us. And we're always thinking, well, because the world will say, why does God need glory? And like Oprah, I don't know if you know Oprah, she believed in God for a while, but then she read a verse that said, God is jealous of us. And it's like, whoa, no, that's not what that meant. That's not what that meant at all. It meant God is a jealous God, and he loves us so much that he wants to bless us and protect us and not to fall away into junk, you know, into worthless stuff. So, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. I apologize for that. Eric, sending me texts on a Sunday. He should know better. I have manifested thy name unto men which thou gavest me out of the world, and thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. It's good. Have they? I'm not very good at keeping God's word. I'm only good at keeping God's word because Jesus is in me. There, but by the grace of God go I. I could be just as wicked as anybody else, but God is in me. He's in me to will and to do. You know, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. So it's good. It's good to know when Jesus tells you to do something, it's from the Father. It's hard. I mean, it's hard to think about that the God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, they're all one, and yet they're all separate. But it's like, it's not hard. You just accept it. You just believe it. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they believed that thou didst send me. So we know that just from other passages in the Bible. So it's like they knew that Jesus was God just based on things. I mean, we know that it's fun to all these whatever they call them, the guys that debate people about Jesus. Apologists, yeah. They get into apologetics. You know, they always have all these things, and they go, one of my favorites is, because people say, well, how accurate is the Bible? And they go, well, it's accurate. It's very accurate. Like, they go, well, has it changed? Yeah, it changed. In this version, it says Christ Jesus, and in this version, it says Jesus Christ. That's how much it's changed. It's still the same. It's like, if you don't think that God, who's been around for eternity, couldn't keep his word the same for eternity, I mean, what kind of God would he be? You know, he keeps it the same so that we know who he is. You know, I know there's polluted versions out there. Because my wife went to BSF. I don't know if you guys know what BSF is. Anyways, but they use the NIV there. And so I got her a King James NIV side by side, and you can see how much stuff they left out. And people, well, don't read the NIV, it's bad. I'm like, well, it still has all the good stuff in there. They just took out some of the other good stuff. So, I mean, it's not like they changed the meaning of it. They just took out some things you need to hear. So, but you can still hear from God with that. You know, God can still get his point across, even with a polluted version. So, just don't read the Chinese version. The Chinese version, like there's a when it talks about Jesus and the woman who was caught in adultery, and Jesus said, you know, he who hath no sin in him cast the first stone, and everybody left. And in the Chinese version, Jesus turns around and stones the woman. you're like, wow, okay then. So they, but that's, I mean, that's the communist version. That's not right. The Chinese version. Do what? Yeah. So don't read that version. That'll mess you up. Because that's the way the world sees God. They see him as a tyrant, a legalist, angry, you know. So he's not going to be that way till the end. That's when he's coming back as a judge. And but he's, you know what? He's going to judge rightly. So we'll get what we deserve. Hallelujah. I pray for them, and I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. So it's like God, remember, there's certain groups get hung up on the whole predestination thing. It's like God already foreknew, so he predestined. It's not that he chose certain people and didn't choose certain people. He just knew. He already knew ahead of time, this person's going to choose me, this person's not. He already knows from the beginning of time, every freckle that's going to be on your face, every hair on your head, he knows you from the beginning of time. Isn't that crazy that 6,000 years ago, before he even created the world, he knew everybody that was going to be born and what they were going to do and how they would die and all that kind of stuff. He knew. So it's like, but again, the Bible tells us to live your life because you think, well, if God already knows, I mean, that's the whole Calvinist idea. That would be horrible. Well, you know, they're always worried, am I chosen or am I not chosen? You know, and I'd be like, I'd be living like hell if I were Calvinist. You're like, well, if I'm chosen, great. If I'm not, okay, I'm just going to live like I want. You know, it's like, what's the point if God already chose me or didn't choose me? You know, but that's not the way it is. So, and all mine are thine, and all thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. It's good. It's good. God loves it. He glories in us. It doesn't seem right because we're awful and, you know, we're falling apart and getting old. And why would God glory in us? But he does. Do you not? I mean, as a parent, I can tell you, it's exciting. I glory in my child. She's fun. It's fun to see what she learns and what she does. I'm trying to think of something she's done lately that's been, she's always doing things. But she understands stuff. And it's fun to see her grow up. And I get excited to share that stuff with people. Hey, you know what Gabby did the other day? That's the way God is. Hey, did you see what Lynn did? Did you see what Clay did? It's exciting. God's excited. He talks to the angels. Did you see that? That's my boy. That's my girl. You know. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. So it's good. It's good to be in unity. The problem with the church nowadays is we're not in unity. Yeah. You know, we have there's thousands of denominations for all sorts of dumb reasons. It's like we all have the same word, and yet we're interpreting it differently. Why? Because we're stuck on stuff. You know, it's like that's the problem with these Bible schools. They teach people to all think a certain way. And if it's wrong, if the premise is wrong, it doesn't matter how many generations is learning it. You know, it's like the whole, it's the whole story of the turkey. And the great-grandmother cut off the end of the turkey, and the mom cut off the end of the turkey, and the daughter cut off the end of the turkey. And they'd go, Mom, why do we cut off the end of the turkey? I don't know. You have to ask your grandma. The grandma would say, well, because my pot was too small, and so I had to cut off the end of the turkey. And it's not because of any particular way to cook the turkey. It was just her pot was too small for the turkey. And so each generation was learning incorrectly, you know. It's like, so you have to go back. You have to listen to God. You have to go back to the Word. The Word, everything is in there. And the thing is the problem with we get denominations is they'll take a little passage and they'll make a whole denomination out of it, ignoring the entire rest of the Bible. If it doesn't all line up, every verse has to line up with every other verse, and it does. But if it doesn't, then what you're hearing is wrong. You know, I mean, because, anyway. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept them, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that's Judas. And that the scripture might be fulfilled. Poor Judas, he didn't even have a chance. He was going to do that. You know, the crazy thing about Judas is all he had to do was say, "Oh, I messed up. God, will you forgive me?" And God would have been like, immediately, "I forgive you." But he didn't do it. You know, Judas was looking for the guy who was going to come and save the Jews from the Romans. He wasn't looking for somebody who, all of them were originally, but then they got it. They understood, "Oh, you're not here to save us from the Romans. You're here to save us from sin, from our sin nature. You're here so that we might have a relationship with God, the Father Almighty, not to save us from our earthly, you know, hurt. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." You know, anyway, I'm going to keep going. "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." It's good. It's crazy. Why would the world? I keep saying this lately. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes unto the Father but by me." And the world goes, "Why are you being such a jerk about it? Why can't I find another way?" And Jesus is saying, "No, you're not understanding. I'm saying, hey, if you want to get to God, here's the way. I'm showing you. I'm it. I'm not trying to keep you out. I'm trying to show you, if you want to get to the Father, here's the way. God said there's only one. There's only two ways to get to heaven: Jesus or be perfect. And you messed up the second one. You can't. You sinned. As soon as you got into this world, you sinned. You know, you were. It's amazing, kid. You think kids aren't devious, but man, kids are devious. They just look so innocent still." They figure things out. They know how to manipulate and get their way, and it's hilarious. That's ingrained in us so early. So the world, I know. Because I have God in me, I don't know why you wouldn't want God in you. I can't come up with a reason. I can't come up with a logical reason why you wouldn't want God. Why you wouldn't want eternal life, why you wouldn't want salvation. So it's hard for me to think that way. But there are people that do it. They get mad, they get angry, and it's weird to me. "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil." So it's good. Man, it's good. Don't get out of the storm. Just pray that God protects you in the storm. You know, weekend before last, Mary and I went up to Oklahoma, and on the drive up there, it was storming, and it was bad. It was one of those ones where you couldn't see 20 feet in front of you. And I was angry at God because he wasn't turning the storm off. But you know what? We got there safely. He protected us in the storm. We didn't get any wrecks, you know. We didn't. And we got gas right before the storm started. Hallelujah. So we didn't have to worry about running out of gas and getting out in that rain. Don't ask God to get you out of your troubles. Just ask him to protect you while they're happening.
Thank him that Jesus is in the boat.
Yes, exactly. Because a lot of times troubles are an avenue to something that we don't understand yet. What was interesting, the next day when we woke up, it was supposed to be raining all that day and all the next day. And I thought, well, we're not going to get to do any of the outdoor activities that we had planned while we're up here in Oklahoma. But everything dumped the day before. I mean, like everything. The weatherman said, "I don't know how all that rain dumped so fast." Because it was supposed to be here for the 3 days, and it all dumped in one day.
Wow.
So it seemed like a storm, but it wasn't a storm. It was just God getting rid of all the rain before we were going to have fun. "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." We're not of this world. You know, we're here. We're born from above. We're not of the world anymore. We're in God. This world is just a a temporary place we're passing through. Sanctify them through thy truth, and thy word is truth.
Amen.
Thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. It's good. Jesus said, I'm about my Father's business. We're about our Father's business. And it, you know, some places, some religions will be like, well, you need to go out and... It was funny. I saw a guy the other day, and he said, Jehovah's Witnesses came to my house. And he says, why do you go door to door? And I said, the Bible tells us to go door to door. And he said, well, all right. Would you just go to Lystra and all these other towns? Oh, you probably haven't, because, you know, they're in Europe. He goes, you have to understand what the Bible is about. You know, if God doesn't tell you to go door to door, the Bible tells us there's a relationship. If God were to tell me to go door to door, I'll do it. I did it one time, and it didn't have any fruit because God didn't tell me to do it. I just felt like I was supposed to. But it wasn't because I was supposed to. It was because I thought, well, that's the right thing to do. I was using my own wisdom. I wasted 3 days going door to door, trying to pray for people, get them to come to church. Zero people needed prayer, and zero people came to our church from that. Because I didn't listen to God. I just thought, well, I need to put more people in the seats. And so that's how you do it. You know, if it had been a God, man, it would have, the church would have taken off. But that's not what God wanted. It's not, I don't know. So we're in the world, but we're not of the world. It's good. It doesn't make us, people think that Christians are well, because some of them are, a lot of them are. They're pious or you know, look down on people. I don't look down on any people. Man, I just want them to know who Jesus is. I don't look down on them at all. You know, even from the lowliest guy, the lowliest stinky bum on the street that ask me for money to, you know, some rich guy, you know, who I'll probably never talk to because he lives in a different world than I do. They all need God. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for those alone, but for them which also believe on me through their word, that they may be as one, that thou, the Father, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, and that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So it's good. Remember, Jesus is always talking about being one. The church needs to be in unity. And that's the way we do that is through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. When you're talking to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's talking to you, he's talking to somebody else at the same time. And when you get together, you're like, wow, the Holy Spirit's been talking to you, and you know, because things just, even though they get a different word, it still, it meshes, because it's the, you know, it's like students who all have the same teacher are going to think the same way. That's why schools are so powerful and so destructive at the same time, because if you have a teacher that teaches kids to think a certain way and it's wrong, then, man, it's going to, you know, that's why we have all the feminism and all that stuff, because people are ideological and they're like, well, if we need to get something to happen, we need to get into the schools and teach all these kids to think this way so that, you know, like the homosexuals are all like, your kids are going to love us. It's like, first of all, if you knew anything about Christianity, my daughter is going to love you. She's not going to love your garbage, but she'll love you because you're a human being and God sees worth in you. You know, your whole identity is built on your sexuality and not who you truly are. You're degrading yourself by that. You're lessening your value by putting your value in that. You don't know who God sees you as. And so you just got to, but you have to be gentle with those people because they're hurt. The reason they're doing what they are is because they're hurt. They don't understand. They need love. They need real love. And the world doesn't know what real love is. You know, they love is love. It's like, no, there are lots of kinds of love. That's what was great about Greek. Greek is a language where it's very specific. English is a very broad, just kind of words are changing all the time, and you know, you never know. But in Greek, when the fact that the New Testament was written in Greek, the words are very specific. You know, I mean, you can look it up and you go, oh, what does that word mean? And you think, I always think, that's why I love the Webster's 1828. Get a Webster's 1828. You can get an app on your phone. You understand? Because Daniel Webster loved God, the guy that wrote the Webster's Dictionary. Not the new one. Don't read the Merriam. That is weird. There's some weird stuff in there. But you understand? Because he loved God and he wanted to know exactly what it meant. And you could read each of those words and it could be the same word. But if you look it up in context, it doesn't mean the same things. So that's why the Greek could say love, but it could mean agape, it could mean philia, it could mean eros. And so it was perfect that the New Testament was written in Greek, because their words are very specific and meaningful and have a lot of depth. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, and they that they may be one, even as we are one. And in them, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and that thou hast loved them, and that thou hast loved me. So it's good. It all points back to Jesus, and that's everything. We're going to be one in the Father. We're going to be one in the Father because of Jesus. No one comes to the Father but by me. And it's easy. The thing that I don't understand why the world doesn't like about Christianity, it is so easy. It's like you just go, I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you died on the cross. And they believe so many absurd things. I mean, you see the things that they believe. The biggest one is evolution. They believe that. But I can't blame them. They've been taught that since they were little kids. But it's like, I had a friend that I met one time, and he was from overseas, and he said, I was taught evolution in school. Because if you look at it, it doesn't make any sense. None of it lines up. And he didn't have anybody tell him that. He didn't have anybody say that it's wrong. He just said, you just look at it. It's just weird. I mean, how do they come up with all these conclusions? They can't. And it's like, and the only conclusion you come to evolution is, hey, we need to find a solution other than God. We want to make sure that you know, the world was made not from God. And that's why they have to use time, you know, billions of years, because it can't happen. You know, it can't happen in 100 years, 1,000 years, even a million years. What they're saying happened can't. It's impossible, mathematically impossible. So that's why God is the only solution. It's the only answer. You know, He created everything. It's like there was a creator from the beginning of time who knew you would be born, and He loves you. Why don't you want that? So that's why we have to be salt and light to these people, so that they see. I was talking to this fellow the other day, and he goes, I want to be what God wants to me to be more than anything in life. And he goes, and I'm not, and I hate life. I'm miserable all the time. I have no joy in my life. And he goes, and I wouldn't be a Christian if it weren't for you. He goes, because I see you, and I see the joy in you, and I know that guy knows God.
Wow.
And I was humbled. I was like, wow. So because of God in me, that guy stayed a Christian. He didn't run away from God. So that's you guys too. You're not just bringing new people in. You're keeping people who are believers to really believe in God with who you are, with how you show who God is. Father, I will that they also. Did I skip a verse? I in them and thou. No, okay. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, believe with me where I am, that they may behold thy glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovedest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known me, thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. There's no meanness in any of this. He's not saying, hey, I've got your glory, and I'm going to be so glorious that they're going to feel inferior and come to you, God. No, he's like, your glory is going to show out of me, and they're going to see your love for them. The glory isn't about glory. It's not about, you know, fearing and berating. It's about love. I mean, it's like God created this entire world for us, whether it's round or flat, whether it's, you know, whatever, whether we can go to the moon or not. He created all, bless you. He created it for us. It's awesome. I mean, it's what a waste. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to create a whole world and then create us so that we could choose him or not choose him. But he did. I mean, that just seems like a big waste of resources. You know, he could have just made some people and said, hey, you're going to love me, and then we'd be with wherever he was at. But he created a whole world for mountains and skies and animals and plants and things to figure out just for us.
Hallelujah.
There's a band from New Zealand, and the song is My Best Friend's the Creator of the Universe. Yeah. He is. God is lots of things to us. Best friend is one of them. Father is one of them. Savior is another one of them. You know, Lord. That's why it's interesting. I was watching a guy, and he was talking about, he was a Muslim, and now he's a Christian. And he was talking about all the different names of Allah. And he goes, if you look at all the different names of Allah, most of them are the names that you'd give to Satan. And he goes, you know, he's like deceiver, oppressor, you know, and all these. And he was going off on all these names, and he'd say it in Arabic, and then he'd say it in English what it was. And he goes, that's not God. God is love. He's a loving Father. You know, God is, you know, merciful. God is gracious. God is kind. You know, we know that, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we have in us, because we have the Spirit in us, so we have all that fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. I like long-suffering more than patience. I think it just sounds better, but anyway. So, I think this message is for, it's good for non-believers, but it's also good for believers, because we need unity. The church is separated on so many different things, and I think when things start to get really hard, what it's going to do is it's going to separate the wheat from the chaff, and you're going to see who real believers are and who people are just along for the ride. But God doesn't want the death of any sinner. Jesus said that. I don't want the death of any sinner. So we know a lot are going to go to, not going to be with Father in eternity. And that's awful. But he gave them the free will choice to choose that or not choose that. So, be salt and light. It's for everybody. It's even for believers. Because, like my father, when he first started preaching, wasn't a believer. I'm finding out that's a lot more common. I've been reading this book, and this woman said, I had all these people that were over me, and they were all pastors, and not a single one of them knew Jesus or was saved. They're like, how is that even possible? How do you become a pastor if you don't know Jesus? Because it's a job. To some people, it's just a job like any other job.
Right.
It's like, how? That's crazy. Because I wasn't brought up that way, so I don't understand that.
Yeah, it's a very taxing job, too. Why would you take
Yeah, exactly. Well, because my dad said, because you get to work one day a week and get paid. Unless you take your job.
It's all the phone calls in between.
Right. Unless you take your job seriously. And if you take your job seriously, then. So, it's good. Don't ever be mad at anybody. We don't understand where they're at in life or why they believe what they believe. Just pray for them and love on them and share the truth with them. It can be hard to do because they can come at you and they can abuse you. But it's all right. Bible says turn the other cheek. So, happy Father's Day. We have a Heavenly Father that loves us.
Amen.
He loves us so much.
Hallelujah. Verse 23.
Yes.
Says, I and them in unity, that they may be perfect in one.
Yeah.
The world may know that you have sent me and have loved them.
Yeah.
And have loved me.
Yeah.
And so he loves us as much as
you. As he loves he loves us as much as he loves himself. Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, I have a little note that I would read on verse 20, where it says, you know, neither pray I for those alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word.
Yeah.
You know, his disciples.
Yeah.
And I just had this note, this is me.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
And I just had this vision of being in heaven and just seeing how, you know, Jesus started the word, and then he told his disciples, and then by the Spirit, Paul got it, heard it, and then he told Cornelius, and then all the way down to me.
Yes, exactly. So
Jesus did that for us.
Glory.
Amen. Yeah, we have no idea. It'd be interesting to see that we get to heaven. God, can you show me how it got to the point where I heard you? How to go all the way back to... It's good. Yeah. And for you in the future to see how did I impact people, it would be fun to see all the people that came to Jesus through your own impact. Through.
China Jumbotron.
just don't show everybody my sins on that same screen, Father. Oh, that's right. They're covered in the blood. They're covered in the blood. So, it's good. The world doesn't really know who he is. So, yeah.
He says, 22, and the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them. Mm.
Yes.
And that they may be one. You know, so he got glory to the Father.
Yeah.
Twice.
Right. God doesn't hold anything back. God doesn't hold anything back. Problem is we're looking at wrong things. You know, we're thinking this way, and he's like, no, that's why we got to read his word so we get it. So, all right. Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the idea of fathers and mothers. What a fantastic idea to show your love, to help us understand who you are. Thank you, Father, for these cities that we live in, that we're going to set them on fire for you. It doesn't seem possible because there's too many people and there's too much in the way, but you said, I just need one, and one who can do it can set a city on fire for you to be in love with you. So thank you that we are salt and light and that everyone we come in contact with will see who you are in us. And we'll see your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wahoo!